Good morning. First, I noticed, please, that I changed the title of my presentation just to accommodate more information that we got just a month ago of a statewide survey about Gratiana boliviana, an agent against tropical soda apple. And this work has been we are conducting with Dr. Overhaul and with other scientists in Florida. During this presentation, I will cover some basic concepts about GIS and highlight the importance for weed biological control. We'll cover what data is available, and briefly data analysis, and we'll show with a bit more time some examples that we are using this technology in Florida especially, and we finish with conclusions and recommendations. Basically, what's GIS? GIS links a locational and attribute information and enables a person to visualize patterns, relationships, and trends. And we all know about the importance of a spatial component for ecology. And something interesting lately, probably most of you are aware of Google Earth and have played with it, and how easy is becoming this technology to we can handle our information. And there's some freeware, of course, as GIS that we can be using in our analysis. And of course, there is tons of databases with information available for free. So with that in mind, we know that definitely GIS plays a major role lately in invasive biology research, and we have seen probably a lot about niche modeling and prediction of invasion risks published. Regarding how we can link GIS and biological control, and we were thinking with Bill something about the lines about the unpredictability as a critical issue for weed biological control. We have here our dependent variables, that is usually agent establishment, agent density, weed control, and we learned from Fritzi a couple of these, we did some analysis with that, and then we try to associate these with our independent variables that we expect that the number of agents will explain everything, but sometimes that doesn't happen, and the time since the first release, and we have some climate information, but with GIS, we can obtain certain other variables such as soil, patch size, and water quality, again, depending on the plant that we're working with. And so greater access, so GIS provides greater access to independent variables, and we also can analyze, using interpolation, some of these dependent variables. So what information probably you already have is you have some location, the latitude and longitude, and some information regarding your agent establishment, the density per plant, and the weed impact. So once we have this information, we can use this tool that is called the drill tool that is quite popular in many GIS software. So we have your locations, different releases throughout an area. You use the drill tool, and you have these different layers of information, such as soil quality, water quality, land use. And what we can do with this tool is extract for each of these your locations the values for these different layers. So now we have this, you know, latitude, longitude for our different sites, our dependent variables, and we have, for example, from our soil layer, we have the percent of sand, pH, the temperature in the area, and the land use and elevation. So we are starting to gather these new variables that may help us to explain using a multivariate regression analysis how we can understand better these other variables and hopefully try to make more easy predictions of our releases. So what data is available for you? Probably all know about climates, temperature, precipitation is quite common. And the importance of this, especially that we have been using, is the information about degree days accumulation at certain locations and how we can use this with your basic biology of the insect and trying to predict the number of generations at certain locations. You have soil data. This is a map for the state of Florida. And something regarding soil is the level of the resolution of your information. Here is Okeechobee County in central Florida. As you can see, large polygons at a state level resolution. But you can download also the county level resolution where you see more finer areas. So again, you have these two different levels of information. So what you can do with the soil and the information, the USDA has provided a good software where you can extract the information from these different layers, and you have tons of data from land management. Something interesting for us will be soil physical properties, water features, water management. So just to expand it and show you soil physical properties. For example, you can obtain water available capacity, organic matter, percentage of clay, as among others. You can start thinking, you know, what variable would be interested for you, and then you hit a map, and there you go. You obtain the information for Lake Okeechobee. In this case, I'm showing the percent of clay, and you have these different ranges. So if you remember the drill tool, you can, if you have some releases here, you can obtain all these variables for your locations and hopefully use this information in a predictive manner. So this is regarding soil, and of course we have been talking about, you can be thinking about soil moisture for certain ages is important, the hardness of clay and flooding conditions. So it's a pretty wide variety of variables that you can obtain for your sites. For in the case for land use, you have a resolution of 30 meter cells. So imagine that every 30 meters, they have characterized the habitat. So we work with a pasture weed, a tropical soda apple from South America, and you can narrow down all these habitats to your pasture areas. You have water quality for many thousands of monitoring stations throughout the United States, and you can obtain your variables again for your sites. Of course, elevation is quite common. Some pretty good sources. This is a great site organized where you can obtain your different layers. And there is something that I would like to highlight, and now is becoming more common to find a foreign countries data available for you for free. So what you can do with this, one simple analysis is the interpolation. Basically, you can see here our density of the agent in different parts. This is Central Florida. Here's Okeechobee County. So you have the your coordinate of your site and the density of the insect. So you can generate these in grids with the interpolation of these variables and obtain such as an idea what will happen in these other locations. It's a simple interpolation tool, but quite useful for generating maps in a predictive manner. Using point, line, and polygon data, in this case, you have, there's tons of analysis that you can do using especially ArcGIS, 150 functions just to do a spatial analysis, that's a lot. So I will just mention you can find directional distributions, mapping clusters, and density that releases per area are quite useful. Something interesting is the raster data. This is your cells. You can use mathematical functions. In this case, we extracted the cells with a forage pastures in Florida, and you can use simulation tools assigning probabilities to these different cells in the case that you can do some modeling, and I mentioned cells extraction. So I will show you directly some examples that we have been working on. In this case, we have some laboratory information regarding temperature growth of these agents, and we know the degree that is required to complete one generation. So we obtained the weather data from these different stations throughout California, in this case Florida, and once we know that this agent, the degrees that it requires, we say how many generations we can predict that will happen in these cases. This is an agent, Apicimus unguiculus, for a Brazilian pepper tree, and the agent is already released and establishing in Hawaii, and this is what we predicted that will happen if the agent is released in these other areas. So you can obtain some information with this. And we did the same for Gratiana boliviana against tropical soda apple. This agent is already released. And of course, number of generations. Here, of course, is warmer conditions. And we do know that the agent has been found up here, even in Georgia and Alabama. So that's some confirming that the model is not that far off. This is the agent that arrived to Florida. It wasn't part of any biological classical biological control program. This is West Indian marsh grass and the Isnodimus variegatus. And we generated, of course, a number of generations. Now, let's go back to the example of Gratiana boliviana and tropical soda apple. This agent was released for the first time in 2003, and we were able to record every single release done by the extension engines and from different offices in these areas of Florida. Here is the colors of the pastures in Florida, and you can see here the first release is 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, and 2008, and where you're seeing how is the spreading, and here is the overall picture from 2003 all to 2008. So we have the question, okay, do we have to do more releases? And here is what we found. For example, we generated random points throughout the state. and maybe a case was between 4 to 5 per county, and we went back to those locations and find tropical soda apple, and let's find what's the density of the insect there. So what we found first is we have the presence of the agent below 29 degrees north going south, and we are not finding in the random points going in these 29 degrees going north. So what happened? So we start tearing apart the information and say, okay, let's divide Florida in different zones, 25, 26, every degree. You see here the zones, and here in these pies is the percent of establishment with blue is the where we found the beetle in these locations. Here, of course, is you can see here how everything is changing, especially in central Florida. The agent is not present here. Okay, now let's analyze and see. We analyze using GIS the distance to the closest release in kilometers, and you can see here that pretty clear. Definitely, there's a closest release site to a random point is in this area, farther in these other latitudes. Regarding the number of releases, and this is the total number of beetles released. So you can see here greater numbers in central Florida compared to here. So there's some explanation going on there. So again, using GIS allow us to find, you know, distance information, number of beetles per different locations. Again, using these zone divisions. So somehow we're starting to find some explanation to what happened. But also we found while doing this mapping that when we generated these buffer zones, let's say, and see how was the percentage of cover of pasture, that is a suitable habitat for tropical soda apple, in these different locations. And of course, you can see here in these areas, there's a very few cover of pastures compared with the area near central Florida, Lake Okeechobee, that is a lot of pasture around our sorbet site. So what Didi found is that the Gratiana was present when you have greater amount of pasture surrounding, and this was constant in the 5 kilometer radio, 10 kilometer radio, and 20 kilometer radio. So the influence of pasture definitely plays a major role in the establishment of this insect. So other way to analyze this is how we can prioritize the size for release. So this is what happened in central Florida. This is, you know, a close-up of all the releases. You see a quite intense release here in central Florida in these areas with pasture, but compare what happened in North Florida, we have very few releases. And you do have the information of the pasture. So we are gonna prioritize for next year, you know, all these releases in these areas, knowing where is these large patches, and maybe we can test some hypotheses regarding, you know, distance to these large patches. So using this information that we know, at least of the habitat, we can test this hypothesis regarding patch connectivity, for example. So this is something that we would like to try for the next year. Something new, probably you're aware of the work by Broniman, and again using GIS, is issues with spatial data regarding niche shift. In this case, they analyzed the Centaurea maculosa distribution in Europe and in the States, and they compare how those they will match. So using the information from Europe, they try to match what will be the distribution here, and what they found is that they cannot match because there's probably some greater adaptations in the United States to drier conditions here. So it's something going on with niche shift, and again, GIS allows to use these environmental variables to test this hypothesis, this new hypothesis, and this may be interesting regarding in other systems, for example, for finding new agents. This is other work that we have been doing using GIS, is of course the prediction using climate data. This is the case of Brazilian pepper tree, using the records of the plants in Brazil, and they match pretty well with the distribution of the plant in Florida. And this is what we did for Jamaican nightshade, and the same story. Like, is this something quite interesting where we find Jamaican nightshade is another solanaceous plant. There is Florida, and according to Florida, we are probably in the border of the infestation, and the plant has been found here in the central area. So again, using this information for these predictions. And just to finish, I would like to mention definitely GIS is becoming more user-friendly. So it's something that definitely if you can start learning the basic process, you can obtain pretty good data in a short amount of time. and a lot of user guides and information available in the internet. You can, there's a lot of people working on this, so you have a lot of help. Hundreds of databases for free data that we like, with potential use for weed biological control, as hopefully I was able to show you. And something important, GIS not only generates pretty maps, but is a powerful tool for analyzing spatial data and obtaining variables for certain locations in your sites. And a spatial analysis could provide tools for testing new hypotheses. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
What's drilling?
Drilling is a tool that actually you have your point in a map, and this allows this basically the software recognizes and extracts the variables in your layers. So the idea is basically you imagine that you have a line extracting the information along your data. Yeah.
It's a tool in a particular software.
Yeah, it's usually a common tool. Yeah, it's a actually, a couple of software have this tool, or GIS, yeah, it's a tool.
Which one?
ArcGIS, and also is present in Aware, yeah.
Okay, thank you.